From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Tuesday, August 20th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth. The kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things officially started with
the Daily Datagram.
Yep, words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. Good one here. It says, our character is shaped as much by our failures as it is by our successes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the respect you earn is formed by your reaction to both.
You're messing with my Zen thing, man.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted history.
Yeah, that's it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
So I'm told.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Oh, boy.
Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Why?
You might be quizzed.
I don't believe you. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1940, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill made the fourth of his famous wartime speeches containing the line, never was so much owed by so many to so few. Queen Elizabeth I looked over at King George and said,
what in the world did he just say?
To which the king said, never mind, dear. And it was on this day in 1998, the Supreme Court of Canada ruled that Quebec cannot legally secede from Canada without the federal government's approval. Quebec retaliated by speaking French from that day forward.
I love it when you talk dirty.
Well, as we're heading into day two of the DNC convention there in Chicago, I would like to backtrack a little bit and point out that it was on Sunday when Kamala Harris, I don't know how to pronounce her first name. It's either Kamala or Kamala. I've heard her pronounce it both ways, so I'm going to assume that that's fair game. But anyhow, back on Sunday, she actually spoke with the press. And one reporter asked her about her economic plan, which was kind of encouraging. I didn't expect the fawning media to actually question her about something as important to the American people as her economic plan, but there it was. And it's drawn some comparisons to policies implemented by Venezuela and the old Soviet Union. She proposed, I don't know if you caught this or not, but she proposed a price-fixing plan that would allow the Federal Trade Commission and state attorneys general to impose hefty fines on grocery chains and their suppliers if their prices are deemed to be too high. Now, this goes back to that thing that I've been complaining about for years, and that's that word misinformation. You know, Karine Jean-Pierre, press secretary, loves to talk about misinformation. And before her, Raggedy Ann used to talk about it. Jen Psaki, remember? She talked about misinformation. And who makes that determination? What is and isn't misinformation? Is that a partisan thing? Is it only Democrats who get to make the determination of what is and isn't misinformation? Well, it's the same thing here. Who's going to make the determination that the price of a given commodity at a store, at your grocery store, or any other product for that matter, is too high? Is that going to be only Democrats? Is the fact that she wants the government to make that determination is pretty frightening. Now, if you're of a certain age, you remember when President Nixon imposed wage and price controls. And they were in the form of a wage and price freeze. Prices couldn't go up and wages couldn't go up. And for an entire intricate economy like ours, that spells nothing but disaster. I like to blame all the inflation and the out-of-control economy that we had under Jimmy Carter on Jimmy Carter. But actually, that stage was set with Richard Nixon when he started the wage and price controls. Now, they melted away eventually, but it was done in a very slow, attritionist process. And really, we didn't see any relief until Ronald Reagan came along And Ronald Reagan took office in January of 81, and we didn't start to see real relief until about 1982, 83. But under Jimmy Carter, we had home loan interest rates at 17.5%. Credit card interest rates were at 25% or more, depending on who you carded with. So along comes Kamala Harris here on Sunday talking with the media. And she's proposed a $25,000 payment for first-generation home buyers and has proposed forgiveness of medical debt, mainly for loyal Democrat Party voting blocks. Now, never mind that none of this is legal, okay? She'll find a way to make it legal. A reporter asked, you unveiled your economic policies last week. Can you explain how you're going to pay for those? And can you give me an example of what other policies you want to unveil next? And she replied with a characteristic word salad, throughout which she failed to outline how her policies will be implemented. So here's what she said. This is a direct quote.
Well, I mean, you just look at it in terms of what we're talking about, for example, around children. And the child tax credit and extending the EITC. That's at $6,000 for the first year of a child's life. The return on that investment in terms of what it'll do and what it'll pay for will be tremendous.
And you know, that's one thing that really honks me off about the left. They keep using that word investment and they toss it around liberally. When in fact, that word invest means raise taxes. Make people pay for this. Because you see, paying off student debt, that's not a tax. That's an investment. So anyhow, she could then claim that the Biden-Harris administration has reduced child poverty by 50%. What bullshit! Pardon my use of that term. I usually try to keep these podcasts clean, but I mean, just blatant BS. Again, failing to provide any specifics on the implementation of such a plan. And she says, and then what we're doing in terms of tax credits, we know that there's a great return on investment. And when we increase home ownership in America, what that means in terms of increasing the tax base, not to mention property tax base, what that does to fund schools, again, return on investment. And she just continued, As Tim Walz looked on, and I had the feeling, because I saw a little bit of this press conference, if that's what you want to call it, and he almost looked like, what the hell is she talking about? You know? Now think about this. Let's pick this out a little bit. Pick this apart. She's proposing giving $25,000 to first-time home buyers and helping them get into a home. And the way this always turns out, it'll be a home they can't really afford. So when they get moved into the house and they're starting to raise their family, they realize they can't afford to keep up with things like taxes or even the note on the house, and they end up defaulting on the home loan. Now, do you remember, well, here again, you have to be of a certain age to remember this, but there was a huge scandal under the Reagan administration. It had nothing to do with the Reagan administration, but it only came to light after Reagan took the White House. And that was the big savings and loan busts. Happened all over the country. Savings and loan institutions went bust. In fact, you hardly ever see that term anymore, savings and loan. Because savings and loans just went out of business. The industry went out of business. And why? Because of the balloon notes that the Jimmy Carter administration urged financial institutions to extend to first-time homebuyers. So what they did was, you got into a house, let's just, I'm going to pick figures that I remember from those days. I remember this vividly because my wife and I were trying to buy a house. And we realized during the Carter years, there's no way we can afford to buy a house. So we just kept renting. We didn't get a house until 1983, I think it was, under
under the Reagan administration. It was 83 or 84. Anyhow, what they did was, particularly builders of new homes, would offer a home to a couple, a young family, for roughly $450 a month. But after 5 years, that note would shoot up to almost double that amount. They called these balloon notes. Well, all these balloon notes busted within just a couple of years. These balloon notes busted. And by the time the 1980s came in, people were walking on their home loans. They just left their homes. Pulled up a truck to the house, pulled all the stuff out of the house, and left the house sit there, and left the financial institution that had backed their loan, left them with the house, an empty house. And by then it was a house that needed repair because there was already wear and tear on the house. And there were huge subdivisions all over the country. One of the builders that was biggest hit by this, of course, the builders get paid, naturally. But I remember Fox and Jacobs Homes. They were building homes all over the United States and particularly throughout the South and Southwest. And a lot of Fox and Jacobs Homes came up empty by about 1981, 82, 83, certainly 1984. And these savings and loans got stuck holding the bag. And there were too many of these defaulted loans that these financial institutions, these savings and loans, got stuck with, and they went under. It was huge. So that's basically what this is. Well, we'll give you $25,000 to get into a house. Now, here again, she gave, pardon the redundancy, but she gave absolutely no idea how this would be implemented. Now, just so that you know, because I want to be fair and balanced, her economic plan has been met with criticism, considerable criticism, from both sides of the political aisle, including a number of notable left-leaning economists. Jason Furman, who's a Harvard economist who served as a leading economic advisor in the Obama administration, said Harris' proposals aren't sensible. Quoting him, he says, this is not a sensible policy, and I think the biggest hope is that it ends up being a lot of rhetoric and no reality. There's no upside here, and there is some downside. And then, of course, Donald Trump compared the proposals to those of Venezuelan dictator Nicolas Maduro. And Trump said during a press conference earlier, he says, now Kamala is reportedly proposing communist price controls. She wants price controls, and if they worked, I'd go along with it too, but they don't work. They actually have the exact opposite impact and effect. But it leads to food shortages, rationing, hunger, dramatically more inflation. Their Inflation Reduction Act, by the way, was a disaster. It's what's caused this inflation. Their Inflation Reduction Act was a con job. And it's true. So, in further criticizing her, Trump said, I said that's going to cause tremendous inflation, and it did, among other things like energy, which is true. She's running on the Maduro plan. We call it the Maduro plan, like something straight out of Venezuela or the Soviet Union. Yeah, there's a lot of rhetoric that's going to be spewed on both sides between now and November 5th. But one thing that you must understand is that you cannot allow the Democrats to win in November. A few weeks back, I told you about a satirical organization called the Daily Scrape. That's S-K-R-A-P-E. And the only byline I've seen in any of their articles is Joe, J-O-E, King, K-I-N-G, joking. And they have a new one here. The headline reads, leaked emails reveal Biden mostly just sleeping at his desk these days. Let me read this to you. This is great stuff. Internal emails between Joe Biden staffers that have been leaked to the press have made it clear that the president is mostly just napping at his desk these days. Has anyone heard from POTUS? Began one email from a Biden staffer dated last Thursday, August 8th. He had a phone call with the Mexican president at noon and no one's seen him.
People are freaking out that he's been kidnapped or assassinated, but I bet he's just sleeping somewhere again. Oh, wait, began a follow-up email sent shortly after. He was asleep in the Oval Office again. Poor guy was all tuckered out. The incident was just one of many that found President Biden nodding off in various parts of the White House lately. I sure am going to miss this place, said Biden, to no one in particular, shortly after awaking from his little catnap. These chairs they have in here, incredible. You can't get a good chair like this out in the world. Oh, heck, maybe you can, I don't know. Oh, rats, I just had a call with the Mexican president earlier, didn't I? Looks like I slept right through that. Oh, well, maybe I'll just sit back here for a few more minutes before I get up. Would someone turn the lights off, please? You have to listen to me. I'm still the president for a little while longer. As of press time, emails and calls placed directly to the president right after lunchtime went unreturned. There you go. From the Daily Scrape. For a number of years now, I've wondered how much longer the people, I'm talking about the real people of California, were going to put up with this insanely left-wing government they have out there. And I'm constantly scratching my head. I mean, you have all these big companies leaving California because the government is so oppressive, taxes are so high, crime is high, and there doesn't seem to be any hope for the future of California. And yet you have that huge swath of California that starts going south to north. It starts just north of Los Angeles and goes all the way up to just a little bit south of the San Francisco Bay Area, maybe a little bit south of Palo Alto. And that whole area of California is about, I mean, you might as well be in Iowa or Indiana. They're rather conservative there. And there's a huge area south of Los Angeles, too, an area between Los Angeles and San Diego that's pretty conservative as well. So are all Californians this left-wing? Well, of course not. They're not. But over the weekend, there was a huge Trump train full of tons of cars and trucks that descended on California's Highway 101, heading toward Paso Robles on the Central Coast. Again, that's the Central Coast, that area I was just talking about. But it was huge, a massive caravan of Trump supporters that took over the streets of California, heading to the city of Paso Robles, or is it Robles? Robles, I would imagine. But anyhow, there seems to be some energy out there in California in support of Donald Trump. Well, now here's one that's really neat. There is a farmer out there in California. Let me get his name here. Ralph Gilkey. G-I-L-K-E-Y. He's a third-generation farmer. And he planted his endorsement of Donald Trump with a mile-long Trump design in his Central Valley field. Now, the field is located in Kings County. This is just south of Corcoran. And it started grabbing attention after aerial footage started hitting the World Wide Web. It's a massive, and I might add, beautiful Trump sign. And the property is owned by Gilkey Farm, Inc. So, Ralph Gilkey, third generation farmer. He and his son were talking to KFSN radio out there, and they'd spent a day mapping out the design on a computer and outlining the letters on the field. And Gilkey said he and his son have been working on the design to show support for Trump and current presidential hopeful, of course, for several weeks they'd been working on this. Well, the sign is approximately a mile long by a half mile wide, and each letter is nearly 900 feet wide. So the Fox affiliate up in Nashville, Channel 17 up there, tweeted out a photo of this Trump sign in Gilkey's field, and it is huge. I would imagine you'd be able to see it from 30,000 feet up very easily. So, hypothetical question here is, could this be the year that California goes Trump? Well, let's look at a few things about California. Again, as I mentioned a minute ago, you've got all these big businesses leaving California. Chevron is leaving. Chevron has decided to move to Houston. You've got Elon Musk moving both X and the headquarters for SpaceX and Tesla to the Austin area, Austin, Texas, and more companies are following. Now, here again, and this breaks my heart because I always liked San Francisco. Always loved going to San Francisco. But San Francisco, up and down Market Street, which is the main retail thoroughfare. It's like the main drag of, pardon the expression, drag. The main drag of San Francisco. And it's empty. The storefronts on both sides of the street. Market Street, all the way up and down Market Street. It's a long, long street, and it boarded up. I mean, it looks like a ghost town, and these businesses have moved out because nobody's doing anything about crime there. Now, let's not forget, once again, San Francisco and Los Angeles, both to varying degrees, but are both similar in that they have DAs who were basically put in office with the support of George Soros. Soros is out to destroy this country. I've mentioned this before. I'm going to mention it again, no doubt, until it actually happens. Soros and his son Alex need to be deported. And their money, this would really go a long way, their money needs to be rejected, needs to be blocked by this country. In other words, Soros, your money's no good here. Get out of the country. Your money is not allowed in. Now, of course, that's a great ambitious project to be able to do that. But then again, there are so many ways to get around that. I'm just pointing out the real evil here. The real evil, the real threat to the Western world isn't Russia, isn't China, isn't North Korea, isn't Iran. We don't need to worry about them. We need to worry about George and Alex Soros. I'm going to play for you now 3 minutes of audio from Greg Gutfeld. Now, this was last Friday on the program The Five on the Fox News Channel. This is audio that has gone viral on the World Wide Web. It's all over Twitter. It's on Rumble. It's on Truth Social, Trump's website or Trump's social media site. And this is compelling stuff. Every American, I mean every American, needs to hear this. He was responding to something that Jessica Tarlov, who is the, she's the resident Democrat bimbo on the panel there on The Five. And boy, Greg responded to her, and there was absolutely no comeback.
Well, first, I want to point out something Jessica said, that Trump began as a millionaire and now he's a billionaire. I think that makes him an expert in this. I would rather listen to somebody who began as a millionaire and is now a billionaire than somebody who doesn't have a damn clue about economics. I've never heard a candidate today more unsure of themselves on a topic than Kamala Harris. I think she's been burdened by the weight of expectations put on her by the media. I've never seen a better campaign ad for Trump. She's campaigning better for Trump than Trump is. First, let's talk about the down payment issue on the house. A lot of this stuff is infuriating, because they're treating the American public like idiots. She makes a proposal that is only half an equation. The first half is, here's a nice thing for you. The second half is missing. Who pays for it? You saw this with student loan theft, described as forgiveness. Who paid for it? You paid for it. You see with immigration policy, who's footing the billions and all that free stuff? You're paying for it. Nothing is free. Nothing is free. And the sooner or later you figure that out, the better off you're going to be. And that's directed at Democrats who don't understand that these policies are going to sink this country. You know, if you cap prices, you increase scarcity by diminishing competition. People can call her a communist, but you got to explain this, because the media won't ask the follow-up questions. How do you plan on doing this? Please give me an example. Give me an example where industries got together in a room and decided to drastically increase prices. That doesn't exist. The only example they'll have is, oh, you know, a bodega raised prices on umbrellas when it rained. That's all they got. There is no payoff for industries. to increase, artificially inflate their prices because the people who drive the prices are the consumers. That is, if you want to understand supply and demand, it's the consumers who drive the prices. There is absolutely no debate on this. There is not a single economist who would agree that this is the right thing to do. We can go and talk about Eastern Bloc countries. You can look at the cheap, terrible cars that they made and the appliances they made. But you already know that story. So there, how do you keep a debate alive if we know this is a fraudulent idea? You don't talk to economists. You listen to politicians or talking heads like me who have to do the research because I'm sick and tired of hearing people pretend like they know what they're talking about on TV, but they don't. So you won't see economists on other shows, other networks asking these questions. Like, can you give me an example of how this is done? Where, what are the major industries? What is the right price? What is too high? What is too low? Can the government set prices based on not having a knowledge of an industry? What do you mean exactly by price gouging? How is that done beyond unique exceptions? Price gouging is a weak phrase directed at weaker minds.
That is so true. Price gouging is a weak phrase directed at weaker minds. Man, every American needs to hear that. But that's what we're dealing with on the other side. Weak minds. And yet, since those weak minds have control of our media, we have a media all too willing to whitewash Kamala Harris's reprehensible background. Her resume looks terrible. But you're not going to hear anything about her resume because the mainstream media is under the control of the left. It's kind of like a slogan that I saw the other day, and I think it was on X. And they said that trading Brandon for Kamala Harris is like crapping your pants and changing your shirt. Let's head on over to the Comedy Corner and the very funny John Evans.
Thanks for being here. It's great. I've had a weird week. I got in a fight with my girlfriend on Monday, and I realized the longer we've dated, the dumber the things are that we fight about. We got into an argument about the way I eat pizza. I know. And all it is when I eat pizza, I take the napkins, I press it down on top of the pizza to soak up all the grease. And then I eat the napkins as an appetizer right in front of her. Yeah, it's controversial. Not everyone's on board. I'm kidding, you guys. I don't have a girlfriend. No, I do, and she would hate that I did that joke. I appreciate you being here. A lot of couples in here. That's great. Couple skate only, or backwards. Backwards skate. I was married. I've done it. It's tough. Marriage is hard. Heard of guys married 19 years in here. It's a long time. I was married twice. It doesn't equal a quarter of the amount of time that guy's been married. Think about that. That's a math joke. Here's what I don't like. I found out, I've been married twice. Women seem to have all the power. That's what I've learned, being married, right, ladies? It's true. It's 100%. No guy in here wants to go to Big Lots. All right? You ever been to Big Lots? It looks like a terrorist attack happened. Everything's in the wrong aisle. There's more discontinued food than you've ever seen. We would get home like, why did you buy jalapeno flavored Oreos? That is the spiciest cookie I've had. She's like, they were a dollar at Big Lots. Well, you can't eat them. That's why they're a dollar. They didn't sell at Target, so they shipped that to Big Lots. And Big Lots doesn't care. They're like, whatever, we'll take it. What is it, jalapeno? Yeah, put those next to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles home pregnancy test that we also sell. At a slightly discounted rate. Couples are like, I don't know, honey, is it Donatello or Michelangelo? I think our baby's gonna have turtle powers, so yeah, I guess this is important. Turn off the game and get in here. Got kids out of the deal, that's pretty sweet. Yeah, I keep telling myself that to convince myself. Yeah, it's hard to have kids. I have two kids. I have a 23-year-old son, graduated, out of the house. And I have a 7-year-old. Oh, well, I guess I'm the dumbest person in the room. Let's all have a laugh. Let's all point at the man who made bad decisions. Look at him. Yeah, 23 and 7. Someone is not a planner.
Get out there and make it a terrific Tuesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.